Hello and a Cead Mhíle fáilte to the very first Irish Bulls podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. What better day to launch this podcast than St. Patrick's Day? And who better to talk to than Mick McQuillan and Dave Rothwell, two guys who got together in the mid-90s and decided that it was about time that all the Wolves supporters in Ireland were brought together as a group. So fasten your seatbelts, observe the no smoking sign, and get ready for half an hour of good old chat with myself, Mick and Dave. Hey Dave. Hey Mick.
Tony.
How are you doing?
Hey Tony. How's things?
Grand, grand. Dave has been the man that's been held responsible for setting up the club in 95. And I know Mick would have been very involved. But the official story is Dave anyway. So, Dave, tell us how you came about setting up the club.
Actually, it was late 94, actually, kind of autumn 94, I suppose. And at the time, the Evening Herald used to have a column every, I think it was Thursday evening, or Tuesday evening, actually. And it used to have a list of all the sports clubs and all that sort of stuff. And you know, for years I'd been watching kind of as a young lift, looking on one of these weeks there'll be a Wolves and one of these weeks there'll be a Wolves one, and there never was. And you know, there was like Cowden Beat and fucking Queen of the South and St Mirren and you know, you name it.
Yeah.
And you were all there, and there was never a Wolves one. So I didn't really have the first clue of what I wanted to do really, other than, you know, try and reach out and see if there was any other Wolves fans around the place. And I suppose the fashionable thing at the time in the paper was send a stamped addressed envelope. So what I was hoping to do eventually, if I got enough people, was do up some sort of newsletter in school on a PC, because at the time I would have been 16, and do up some sort of newsletter or something like that to try and get the ball rolling. So
yeah.
Put the ad in, and I suppose initially there was kind of a deluge. Well, when I say a deluge now, there was probably 15 or people wrote to me straight off the bat. And you know, the likes of Mick, the likes of Ernie, Alan Richardson, Damien Phelan, Victor Moore was another one. There was, there was a couple of names that are probably still around, you know.
Yeah. Back in the days before email.
We decided, was another, sorry, yeah. And then John down in Wicklow, Gerry Markey was another. So there was, you know, a kind of reasonable numbers. So I decided, one or two people had to put their phone numbers in on when they sent me the letter. So I gave them a ring and just said to them, look, this is what I'm trying to do, how we go about it. So, bearing in mind now, I wasn't even old enough to drink at this stage, but I went into one or two pubs in town that I knew had held other supporters clubs. And I said to them, look, I'm looking to, you know, host a meeting here for a Wolves supporters club, you know, what do you offer? What's normally the plan? Blah, blah, blah. So the Feet Bar was one of the ones that went into, and they said to me, look, we'll organise you a meeting room upstairs. We'll give you a bit of privacy. If there's a match on at any stage, there's a TV upstairs. You can have all that sort of stuff. Off you go. So
that's great.
So I remember sticking it in there. I think not long after that, then Wolves had a game in the FA Cup around the January time against Sheffield Wednesday. And I decided, look, this would be the ideal time to get people together. We'll get to watch a match. We'll meet each other for the first time. We'll do all that sort of thing. So threw it in the paper that we'd meet up at 7:30 or whatever, you know, on a, I think it was a Monday night game at Hillsborough against Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup. And so in we met, and I'd say it was probably 15 to 20. It was Mick, you were there. You might be able to recall a bit better than me in terms of numbers and stuff like that at the first meet.
Yeah, it was around the 15, 20. I'll be honest with you, Dave, a lot of stuff goes on in my head. I'm getting a little bit like Ernie now. The old Alzheimer's is kicking in. But all the bangs I've got in the head over the years. Not to help me too much. But yeah, there was a decent enough crowd, I remember, there that night, you know.
Yeah, so I suppose from that then, Tony, obviously, you know, we decided, you know, we'd try and keep the group somewhat kind of informal. But there was a guy, and Alan said, look, I'll take over the kind of, you know, I suppose given the fact that obviously I was only a kid, Alan said, look, I'll take over the kind of, you know, the interaction and the communication and stuff like that. And stuff will go through kind of my address and my phone number and stuff like that. I said, look, I'm, you know, happy enough, work away. So we decided, obviously, in and around then, that the aim would be that we'd look to pick a game at some stage over the next month or two and we'd get across to a match. So we picked Portsmouth. So as I said, this was the January. We picked Portsmouth at the start of March, that we'd go over to watch, and we'd go on the Saturday morning, and we'd come back on the Sunday afternoon or whatever, and we'd get a game in. So back then, I suppose, you have to remember, Ryanair wasn't as cheap as it was now. And memory, I think we paid something like 114 each for the flight across for the weekend. So there was a bit of kind of, you know, throwing 20 or 30 quid ahead aside or whatever for a couple of weeks and stuff like that. So we had the money knocked up for the flight and the hotel and that sort of stuff. So yeah, we decided we'd go to watch Wolves on Portsmouth, which was 1-1 with a late Steve Bull goal. So that was March 95, and that was our first game. So we went over to support the club, a group. you know, got welcomed into the club, got brought into the players' bar before the match, where we met a couple of the players. I myself remember having a decent chat with David Kelly that day.
Yeah.
And this would have been only a week or two after the Ireland-England game, where David Kelly had scored the goal, the match got abandoned and that sort of stuff. So there was a bit of that was quite topical at the time, you know, amongst kind of, I suppose, Wolves fans out in the street. And, you know, David Kelly and stuff. And I'd been at the game. I think Mick had been at that Ireland match.
Yeah, I was at it myself, yeah.
We had a bit of vision around that. But I suppose from day one, the club were quite welcoming, you know, given that, you know, as I said, they brought us in and kind of welcomed us as a supporters club at that stage. Had done their best to kind of get us tickets together and all that sort of stuff. And in fairness to them, continue to do so over the next couple of years after that.
Yeah, very good. So, as you say, the Portsmouth game was your first game. So did it become a regular event then, travelling over? Was it once or did you go a few times a year?
Well, again, without getting into too much of the politics of things, I suppose, Tony, there was a bit of a set to one evening after one of the matches. After I left, I obviously went heading for the last bus home because I said I was a young lad and funds were tight, but a few of them had stayed around for, I think, you know, getting taxis and stuff like that. But a disagreement had arose around who knew what in the club and that sort of stuff. There was a bit of a set to, I suppose, and the club kind of drifted into two separate ways. Some people felt one person was right, other people felt another person was right.
Yeah.
So, I suppose we split into two separate groups to an extent. Very much, I think, the people that came with me, even though, as I said, I wasn't there when the argument arose, the people that ended up in the group that I kind of sided with were probably a lot more regular match goers than the others. The other guys, I think, like to meet up and talk about going once a year, whereas the likes of Mick, myself, Damien, and people that were involved in Airside,
yeah,
you know, were certainly interested in getting over 6, 8, 10, 15 times a year, whatever. And, you know, in years after that, then when transport became a bit easier, myself and Mick had season tickets and went 40 games a season and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think we were that kind of people. The others were, you know, meet up, have a chat, go once or twice a season. But having said that, some of those other people then, Ernie being one, did levitate back towards their group and he realised that the others didn't actually, weren't that interested in going to games and we were. So, yeah. It was a bit of a set too, I suppose. But yeah, quite instantly, I suppose, there was a number of us that would have kind of ended up in that group that would have went probably 4, 5, 6, 7 times a season and Mick probably a bit more. You know, Mick used to drive over a bit on the boat, stuff like that at the time, bring the car with him. So Mick, you would probably have a bit more memories of that as to how often you used to go around the mid-90s. But certainly myself, it was probably 7, 8 games a season.
That's right. And what we used to try and do, Dave, the bank holiday October weekend and Easter, they were sort of the two dates when we tried to make up to get the group
double
over. Them sort of double fixtures.
Yeah.
And that became sort of a regular thing. I suppose the main thing for setting up the club was to give other people, because I've been travelling for years and other people were travelling on their own, but it was to give newer people coming in there, they might not know the road, what hotels to go to, where to stay and things like that, pubs to go to, and generally help in that direction. And you know, we in fairness, after the breakup in the that happened in the fleet that time, we did go over quite a lot. A lot of fellas did. I met up at, you know, it wasn't. I think, as you said, the other side. It could have been years. It could be 5, 6 years before some of them ever went over to a game after that. You know. But that's what like we then, you know, we were able to get in the semi final was the FA Cup against Arsenal. That was in 97, 98.
Yeah.
We were over at the Leeds match. We were over, remember that, the famous Leeds match, the quarter final of the fucking FA Cup. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think that obviously helped make, if you remember, having a supporters club or using the kind of Irish Wolves supporters club type thing, because that obviously, you know, a semi-final at Villa Park, Wolves only getting 20,000 tickets or whatever at the time. They probably had 21 or 22,000 season ticket holders, you know, and kind of having the supporters club environment helped us get 15 or 20 tickets for that game, you know. And I know you were instrumental in that, Damien, as well. So a lot of benefits, I suppose, quite early, albeit we probably didn't have quite the kind of structure of supporters clubs and that sort of stuff Wolves have now, you know.
The way I seen it was a time after we had made the contacts, because I was dealing with what was the chap, the commercial manager there, but they were very, very good. You're right, Dave. With his used to bring us over there, there was tea and sandwiches and all that put on. We met certain players. True that, I think Damien was the main contact, because he was working for Aircom and he was able to do the free phone calls and things like that. And I was looking after tickets and that with the club. And that's how we were able to get the tickets coming all the way even up to Cardiff, you know.
Yeah, it was actually Cardiff was going to mention that you had a good crowd that day. Yeah.
We were, but we were kind of split up, Nick, weren't we? Like, I don't remember us kind of being in a kind of an Irish Wolves group as such, because myself and yourself and three or four others went to Wolverhampton on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And we drank in Wolverhampton on the Saturday, was it? Or the match was a Monday.
A Friday.
I don't know whether we went to Wolverhampton on the Saturday or the Sunday, but anyway.
Yeah.
Friday, was it?
You're right.
The match was Monday afternoon, yeah. The
match was a Monday, so we went to Wolverhampton, I think potentially on the Saturday, a couple of drinks in Wolverhampton and that for a night or two anyway, and then we drove down to Cardiff. I think it was Nick in your van, if I remember correctly.
I was at the point, the Jeep.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. So there was a lot of Irish Wolves over there, I suppose, but not really at that stage. I think the supporters club had kind of began to disintegrate a little bit, and it was very much pockets of lads that, you know, knew each other and kind of liked going, make each other's company and kind of going for beers and stuff. And at this stage, myself and Mick were probably doing, you know, 25, 30 games a season type thing. So, you know, we were regulars going. And, you know, at that stage, I don't think I had a season ticket, but I think Mick might have had. So, you know, the Wolves had their own membership scheme at that stage. So if you had a certain amount of games, you went a certain amount of points, you were able to get tickets and that kind of thing. So there certainly was a decent number of Wolves lads over there. I know Paul from Belfast was there and Ernie was there and, you know, a good few others. We didn't really have a big Wolves kind of contingent that went over together anyway, but there was a lot kind of knocking around in twos and threes.
Yeah, good stuff. You say you had a season ticket. For how long did you have a season ticket for?
I think it was the season we went into the Premier League. I bought it. So that would have been 2003, 2004. Was the first time I'd had one. I'd been going over quite a lot before then, but I hadn't just bought the season ticket. You know, I was doing a lot of games, but, you know, when you were in the Championship, it was quite easy to just buy individual match tickets as and when you wanted to go over. So I started it in 2003, 2004, and I think I had it till about 9 or 10. And at that stage, that would have been the guts of, you know, I think my most in a season was 40. That was, you know, all the home games and, you know, a large portion of away games, a couple of cup games and whatever thrown in. So, so I was doing that. Obviously, Mick would have been kind of doing that quite regularly. There probably wasn't too many others doing that as regularly as us.
Yeah.
That would do, you know, 8, 10 games a season, 5 and 6, then many others, you know.
So you would probably be the only two season ticket holders around that time, yeah?
There might be another.
I think the Don Powell's have one, but I think he used to leave it in Wolverhampton and somebody used to, you know, use it when he wasn't there. And there was another lad that I used to meet. He was a guy that was a good bit older than me. He's probably, from memory, I'd say he was a good bit older than Mick even. You know, he could have been maybe 50 when I was 20. Yeah. And this guy used to keep himself to himself, and I don't know his name, but I remember saying to him one day, we've bought this club, you know, in Ireland, and you should join it, because he lived in Glasnevin somewhere. And he says to me, oh no, he says, I keep myself to myself, and I go to games, and he pulled out a seasoning and says, well, I come over every week. But I only ever met him 3 times, and then I never seemed to be on the same flight as him. Yeah. I never seemed to, you know, meet him on a ferry or anything like that, but I met him in Wolverhampton twice, and I met him in Cardiff walking down the street that day, and I don't know who he was. But so there obviously was a few others that weren't club, but this guy was very much kind of, don't go into all that drama and people that talk about going to games, I go to games.
Yeah.
And that was his kind of logic, and, you know, so there was a few others around, I'm assuming. But, and then of course there was Mark James, who was from Wolverhampton and moved to Offaly, and Mark used to go over and back, and once he was going back over and back all the time. We never actually knew. And then myself and Mick met him on a flight one day, and then he became kind of one of us, and he was doing, you know, 20 or 30 trips a season with us then as well for a period.
Yeah, Mark is still involved with us. We meet him, he comes to most of our meetings. He doesn't travel over that often.
No, a bit like myself, I think myself and Mark would have had the kind of, it became more and more about, you know, just being in the Premier League and not wanting to win trophies and disrespecting the FA Cup and that kind of thing. And that's what turned me, to be honest, and why I kind of said, you know, I said, I don't like where this is going. It's, you know, it's, I don't get this, you know, top four and, you know, or we avoid a relegation, that's great. And you put a B team out in the FA Cup and stuff like that. And I just didn't like that kind of the way football was going in that respect. So that's kind of what put me off to an extent. And I know Mark was kind of the same.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, the money has come into it now, and that's what rules. The FA Cup isn't seen as being of any value, monetary value anyway, for a club to survive, you know. So, but
because like some of my best memories of Wolves, like if you were to ask me, you know, pick out my 3 or 4 favourite games, they'd nearly all be FA Cup games. Yeah. You know, the Leeds, when we won 1-0 at Leeds in the Cup quarter final, when we bet Newcastle 3-2. You know, at home in the cup back when Newcastle were going to be, you know, top two or three Premier League team and stuff like that. And then I think that was, from memory, I think that was my 25th birthday or something like that, you know. But so, you know, I loved the FA Cup. I used to, but there was that kind of period through the mid-2000s where it began to kind of not, managers were resting players and not trying and stuff. And I was saying, like, what, you know, what is the point of being a football team if you don't want to win silverware? And you can still see that to this day. You know, Wolves done it this season, Burnley done it. Purpose of being Wolves or Burnley, if you don't try and win a trophy, you know. I've got a bit disenfranchised with it, you know, and I've always been a League of Ireland fan, and I've levitated, you know, that kind of does me now to an extent, and I go and watch Wolves the odd time, but not to the level I once did, you know.
Because, I mean, I suppose when you say about the FA Cup, I mean, that yourself, Mick, it be the same going to the matches the last few years. I mean, the highlight of beating Liverpool and United and then going on to Wembley for the semi-final in, you know, 2019. And, you know, I mean, that disappointment, I think, of losing and the way we lost is still, we've got over league defeats hand over fist, but that semi-final sticks in people's throats still. And, it, you know, it doesn't bear thinking about, you know. But just on the club,
Go ahead, Edgar. Sorry, Tony. I was just going to say again, like, I was disappointed, obviously, the team he put out against Southampton a couple of weeks ago. Because for me, I don't care whatever way you want to dress it up. That meant there's 15 or 16 matches left this season that have absolutely zero relevance.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't get this. You know, why you get £1 million a point, or you get this, or you get that. You know, that to a football fan, me shouldn't. You know, that's for the money, man. That's for the accountants.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to a football fan. To me, you should want to win a trophy, and you know. Where Wolves weren't never in any danger going down this season. They weren't going anywhere else other than mid-table. Why not have a go at the FA Cup?
Unfortunately, it seems to be the pressure that's on managers now is to, you know, finish as high as you can in the league, you know. And, you know, I mean, you know, people, unfortunately with Wolves, with last season with your Europa League and playing, as we know, playing Thursday, Sunday with the smallest squad of any team in the league, and they managed to survive. So you can see a side where people would say, why not play the strongest team every week?
Yeah, I can understand that. Like, I can understand that last season, absolutely. But this year, it was absolutely, like I said, there's 16 games or whatever left after we went out of the FA Cup. And to me, none of them are relevant, really. You know, you might get a bit of local pride by beating Villa this weekend or whatever the case may be. But we could have potentially been in an FA Cup quarterfinal with a game against the Championship side in Bournemouth. Then you're back to Wembley again, you know. Yeah. And we, to me, we threw a hat at it, which, you know, I don't agree with. But that's the way football's goes.
Yeah, unfortunately. But just go back to the club, the original club. Were the membership kind of mainly Dublin based, or did you have a few spread around the country?
No, we had a couple. I remember there was a couple of guys from Roscommon and Mayo, Mick, that came on the first trip. There was the guy from Mullingar, I can't think of his name now. And then we had a youngish guy. He was probably the closest to my age. He was probably, when I was, as I said, I was maybe 16 turning 17 when we went on that first trip. And I'd say this guy would have been maybe 19, 20, and he was from Tipperary, and I can't remember his name for the life of me. But no, there was certainly representation from around the country. As I said, I can think of Mayo, Roscommon, Mullingar, Tipperary, and there was probably a couple of others. And then we picked up a few others along the way as we went.
We
had the Munster lads, Gary Cotter. Remember, we had Gary as the Munster rep. There's a good few from Munster there. And we didn't go around the country like you do now, Tony. I have to meet meetings in the four different provinces. What we did then was, it was just Gary was the contact in Munster. And we used to liaison with the phones and that. And when we wanted to get tickets, or we had a good system of Wolves there that we were able to put our name in for certain tickets, and because we were overseas, you know, we facilitated most of the time, except that bugger that was in charge coming up to the playoff at Cardiff. There was problems there,
and I
faced problems with that, and I had to get fairly ticked that time because I was dealing with that. And
that must have been tough, Mick, was it?
Well, you know, when I found out his background, it wasn't too hard. But he had served his time in Northern Ireland as a British soldier. So at that time, you probably remember, Dave, you would have met John Richards. John Richards was the managing director of Wolves at that stage. Yeah. And we met him up at the Connacht Hotel, and I had a great chat there with John, and John told me if there were any problems, you know, to contact his secretary, and you know, that's how I could make contact with him. And I remember after having the row with your man over the tickets, and I wasn't getting anywhere, so what I'd done was I rang John's secretary, and she asked me what was in connection with. I says, in connection with tickets for Cardiff. Not happy about the the chap here, I said, I reckon that it's a bit like maybe the fact that he served time in Northern Ireland. So the phone wasn't long. She didn't go to John Richards, but obviously she went to him and contact was made. So I got some tickets and then they made a complete mess of it because there was there's a second set of tickets left at Cardiff.
I'll tell you the story, Tony, as I remember it anyway. What had happened anyway was I'd rang up and I from memory, I think you could get two tickets with one membership, but I could be wrong, or maybe I was getting each ticket, but long and the short it was anyway. I rang up with the membership numbers to buy the tickets, and the membership number system had changed in the run up to the playoff final, but I hadn't got wind of this. Yeah. So I rang up, I got my membership number, he took the order off the phone, took my credit card details, all that sort of stuff, hung up, said, grand, your tickets will be on the way, fine. Then I got a phone call out of the blue about 2 days later and saying, look, we've had to cancel that order, your membership number isn't valid. I said, well, I have a membership number. But I says, well, the membership number scheme changed. We don't have access to the new membership numbers. I think Wolves had outsourced the whole ticket to some other crowd.
Yeah.
So I rang Wolves and I said, look, my old membership number, I still remember it was 46756. I said, my old membership number was 46756. What's my new membership number? And they turned around, they gave me some new structure.
Yeah.
And I rang back up, ordered the tickets again. So that was effectively the second time I'd done it. And then this was about a week and a half before the game, and I'd asked them to be posted to me in Dublin. So the day or two before the game, they hadn't come. So I rang up again. I said, look, at this stage, I don't think they're going to come. I said, could you reorder them for me? Or reprint them for me, sorry, Cardiff at the ticket collection point.
Yeah.
That's fine. So I went to Cardiff, walking in the door with Mick, expecting to collect one ticket for me, one ticket for him. It was three envelopes. So there was the original envelope that he told me the order was cancelled. There was the second envelope that they were meant to post and he didn't post. And then there was the third one where he told me he'd reprinted the tickets. And as it transpired, it was six different tickets. It wasn't the same ticket three times.
Yeah.
So that'll tell you the kind of pressure Wolves were under to try and get 40,000 tickets out the door in 2 weeks or whatever the case may be. But effectively, I ended up walking around Cardiff with four spare tickets in my pocket and, £30 a piece or whatever the case may be. And people were paying £200-300 a ticket that day.
Yeah.
So we were kind of walking around saying, we'll just find people that look genuine that are in need of a ticket and we'll give them the ticket at £30 or whatever. But telling them the story, and we're assuming this ticket will get you into the ground, but just so you know, it might not, but it is genuine, and this is what happened, and this is the story. So anyway, so myself and Mick had our two tickets, and we had four spare tickets, and we sold them, and we had about £120 or £150 in the pocket from that for a few points and stuff like that. So it all worked out well for us that day.
Gary Cotter got one or two of those tickets. We got them for him, but we got to get them out. I said the biggest problem we had was worrying that someone would get them and then try and flog them for huge money.
Yeah, true.
And we didn't want that to happen. We didn't want to see Wolves fans getting fleeced because there was quite a lot of Wolves fans up there having got tickets, you know.
But they probably would never be able to trace it back to you anyway if the system was a little bit dodgy, you know. You probably wouldn't.
Well, God knows.
as it turned out, Dave, if you remember, it was only a couple of 2 or 3 months after that your man himself was removed from... There was problems with finances.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. It's another story, Mick, I'd say.
It was a great day. And it was a great experience from start to finish. Like, you know, we were down in Cardiff. I think we left Wolverhampton at about 6 o'clock in the morning, Mick, if I remember correctly. We were down in Cardiff for probably 8:30 or 9:00
a.m.
We were probably amongst the first Wolves fans down there. And as the day went on, Cardiff is a great venue for a football match. You know, it's like being on O'Connell Street and having the stadium on Henry Street or something. You know, it's just literally slap bang in the city centre and bars everywhere and, you know, great bit of crack. And I had a friend of mine actually who's living in Cardiff at the time, and he had kind of took the support in Cardiff City. So he went to watch them on the Sunday. They played the playoff final against QPR and won. And then on the Monday, obviously, he was bringing us around and showing us around Cardiff and the best pubs to go to and that sort of stuff the next day. So, yeah, we had a great time.
That's right. We drove over. We drove over on, I think it was a Saturday. We headed down early on the morning of the match because I wanted to get the car parked up. I wanted to get close enough to the ground because as we were driving down, I remember Wolves fans, I think, had to come off at Junction 27. Sheffield United fans had to come off at 29. The problem for them was, for the authorities, was both sets of fans were coming in the same way. And I wanted to get away from the park and ride, and I was able to take the car to itself and park the car. We parked it up beside the bloody castle, the big old building there. We parked it there for the day, and we went off at the piss then. And I remember after the match, we went into the pub. What was the name of the? It was a hotel, and a few Sheffield United supporters there. We had a couple of points to let the traffic clear off, and we had back at Wolves about 9 o'clock at night.
It was actually strange that by the time we got back to Wolverhampton, the place was a bit like a ghost town. We thought it would have been partly central, but a lot of places, the licensing laws over there for a bank holiday Monday were quite strict, and I think clubs were closed by 10 and probably stuff. 10, so by the time we got back, everywhere was kind of closed and the town was dead. We thought it was going to be mental, but it wasn't at all. Like, and then I think you'd obviously an open up bus or whatever going through the town a few days later, and that was kind of when people were going to have the big party. But yeah, the town was actually remarkably quiet that evening in Wolverhampton when we got back.
And would that have been one of the last trips that you were on then as a supporters club?
No, as Dave was saying there, a number of us were going out. Me and Seth, Dave used to go out nearly every other week, home and away.
Yeah.
And these other lads, what you call it, you bump into Gary and you bump into them fellas. You know, we had organised anything major after that. We had a couple of, we organised, what year was it that we Dean just got the player of the year? That was 97, was it 98, Dave, was it?
It was that, Nick, sorry, what player did you say?
Dean Richards. Remember we gave him the player, the Irish supporters player? We had it.
I saw a picture.
Yeah. That would have been around since 98, I'd say. Yeah, been around then, yeah.
So we were going back and forward even after the bust up. Did we organise any games?
I suppose you have to remember.
Yeah.
You probably have to remember, Tony, that there wasn't WhatsApp groups and that sort of stuff for staying like there is now. There wasn't Facebook and that kind of thing really to the extent there is now. Yeah. So it was very much, you had Mick's phone number in your phone and you'd ring him and say, Mick, do you fancy going to Middlesbrough next week or something? Or, whenever the fixtures come out, you go, yeah, I'll go to that one. And, you kind of stayed within your own little group because the supporters club, as I said, it had kind of lost its intensity and different people had found their level of how often they wanted to go and stuff. So people that went regularly tended to, stay in contact with the people that went regularly. Yeah. Others, the same, the people that went once a year on Easter or, whatever the case may be. So we were kind of fell into little pockets, I suppose. And you would see people, I remember randomly running into Gary at Highbury in an FA Cup match about 2004 or something.
Yeah.
And so people were going, but you just weren't thinking to pick up the phone and say, you go to this match on this week. And, and it's, as I said, it wasn't like you just pick a mobile phone out of your pocket and WhatsApp and you could reach 50 people and say, I'm in such a pub in Shepherd's Bush, I'm in such a pub in Islington, or, whatever it may be. So you tended to bump into people and then you'd go for a point, but you didn't really expand beyond your own little groups of three or four people, I suppose. The exception probably been Paul from Belfast. He used to always tell us when he was coming and look to meet up with us and that sort of stuff, But, I think you pretty much knew if Wolves had a game, myself and Mick would be there anyway for a period of a couple of years.
Well, we're down to our last minute. I'm just going to, have you any plans of heading over to a game when everything gets back to normal in the new season?
Does anybody, Tony? I probably will. To be honest, as I said to you when I met you at Ernie's funeral there a while ago, I've kind of got more into the habit now of going around Europe and going to, random cities and countries and watching, just going to different football matches and experiencing cities and the culture and the football stadiums and seeing how it all kind of pans in. But look, Wolves are still my team and I'll, probably once a season, twice a season now would be probably my limit. But certainly. Look, at this stage, I'd go to the moon if I thought there'd be a game of football on it. So I'll definitely be over there as things are back to normal.
It's probably the only place they let you go to a game at this stage. I'd see you, right? Take care, guys. We'll see you again. We'll be in touch.
See you.
Good luck.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more Wolves tales from years gone by. If you'd like to find out more information about Irish Wolves, you can log on to our website at www.irishwolves.org, or you can have a look at our Facebook page called Irish Wolves. See you next week.